I compare tonight to taking a domino. How many know what a domino is? All right, just checking. Some people know. You know, that little thing with the dots on it, that little square thing, rectangular thing. There are about 28 in a box of dominoes. And you can take a domino, set it on the edge or stand it up, and then take your finger and push it, and it falls down all by itself if you put up one domino. And I might compare that tonight to what happens to you no matter how good things go in your life. All of a sudden, the devil comes along and he sees your flesh and gives you a push. And boy, you get right into sin and you fall because of that sin from walking close to God. Now you might take one, two, three, four dominoes, three or four dominoes, set them up. Stack them up, stand them up close enough to each other so if you hit that first domino, it's going to fall into the second and then into the third. And so with one flick of one domino, you're going to knock down, Brother Jesse, about four dominoes. They're going to go bing, 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 bing. Now, if you lived when I lived and Brother Joe lived, you know about the domino theory, right? It was a theory applied to the nation of Vietnam. How many have heard of the domino theory? Just a few of you. During the Vietnam era, the domino theory said that if Vietnam fell to communism, so would Laos, so would Cambodia, so would all the nations of Southeast Asia fall under the communist curtain. And so the idea that was promulgated at that time was we must defend Vietnam no matter what. Now, whatever's true of that in history or not true is not important. I share it tonight to say to you that when it comes to spiritual warfare, there is a domino theory. By that I mean that if you can be tempted into a particular sin or a besetting sin, you are going to fall in your walk, but it's going to affect other sins in your life so that one sin may lead to another and to another. It's like eating Doritos or chocolate chip cookies. Not calling them sin, but one leads to the other, to the other, to the other. And pretty soon, you know, the domino theory becomes a reality in your life and you go through a period of time of backsliding. You go through a period of time, not just a day, not just a week, but perhaps a month or even years, when you are not productive for God. In fact, you go into a famine, as it were. And except there's outside divine intervention to stop it, you may lose a great war against sin and the schemes of Satan, and we may lose ground, and it could affect others around you and in the church family, because there's an invisible spiritual warfare. And if you're down, you're not there to hold up your brother in prayer. And we all affect one another. And pretty soon we start seeing the spiritual dominoes falling down. And we might use a second illustration, not only dominoes, but we might use the illustration of how one sin can lead to another sin and eat up your positive spiritual supplies that you've stored up in your life. I know my wife would love this illustration. You might have one mouse get into your house. My wife will not tolerate one mouse in the house. She makes sure we have mouse traps set up. And they have blinking green lights. I think it's red when the mouse is caught. Am I right? Or am I right? At any rate, she sees the light flashing. Is it red, Brother Steve? It flashes red and she says, "There's a dead mouse in there." And I go up to that mouse trap and turn off the light and go out and look at the mouse, examine him, shake him out. and put the trap back. Make sure there's peanut butter in there because they love peanut butter. It used to be cheese, but now we use peanut butter. And we kill those mice, you know. And one after the other. And sometime it's just like we're getting mouse after mouse after mouse. But we've had a dry spell for a long time now, which we like, at least at our house. But I'm saying to you, if you're not killing the mice, the one mice can found another mice, and a male and a female, and they get together and they have something called baby mice. And pretty soon those baby mice grow up and have babies and have babies. And if you're not careful, your house is going to be overrun with mice. And they're going to eat up all the supplies that you got. And if that happens, you could be lacking food, right? And a famine could set in. And I believe that that can happen in your spiritual life, where you've been walking with God and building up spiritual supply, and you got a good thing going, but then that sin gets in there, and you fall, and it leads to other sin, and pretty soon you're becoming spiritually impoverished. You're in a famine time instead of a time of plenty. And tonight, that's what I want to talk to you about. So I'd like you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 106. And we're going to look at Psalm 106. And I want you to notice as I'm reading in Psalm 106 that the psalm starts with praise to God for defeating the enemies of Israel in Egypt and delivering Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And it praises God for that at the beginning of the psalm. And what a wonderful thing it is to praise God for His saving grace in our life and other people's life. Praise God for His grace in our life, where maybe He's delivered you out of certain dangerous situations and He's brought you out. And you can praise Him tonight because He's a God of redemption, of deliverance. And the psalm starts out like that. Praise God. But notice, in verse 8, it says these words. I like it. Big letters, underlined, bold type. Praise the Lord, Alicia. It says, nevertheless, He saved them from for his namesake, that He might make His mighty power to be known. Why did God save you? He wants to make known His power in your life. Amen? Amen? He wants to make known His glory in your life. He wants it so that people look at your life and they don't see the dedicated energy of your flesh. They see the power and the grace and the hand of Almighty Jehovah God. That's what God wants in our lives. That's what it says in verse 8. Nevertheless, He saved them for what? His name's sake. By the way, Ephesians 1 says the same thing. We're saved to the praise of the glory of what? His name, His grace in our lives. And that He might make His mighty power to be known. So praise the Lord for that. And this psalm then goes on to describe the power of the Lord to deliver Israel from slave masters that were much stronger than they are. By the way, do not be intimidated when you see giants around your life. Do not be intimidated when you see problems that you can't solve around your life. It's an opportunity to glorify God. And so it says in Psalm 106, verses 10 and 11, these words, and He saved them from the hand of him that hated them. You know what? Satan hates you tonight. You know what? The world hates you tonight. You know what? Your own flesh, if it could, would rise up and spit in the face of Jesus Christ, your flesh, and hates the Holy Spirit that lives within you. Your own flesh. I said your own flesh. And He saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them, it says, from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Listen, do not be surprised when we have blessings from God and good things from God and supplies coming in from God. And all of a sudden you got the mice of sin and you've got impoverished and famine coming into your life, into your church, into your family. It's the work of your enemies. And it can happen, beloved. And it's good that we mention this. And so this is a reminder here in Psalm 106, 10 and 11 that we're saved by the Passover lamb and by the power of God from being lost and dead and blind and damned and defeated in this world. No thanks to the world, but we are saved by the Passover lamb and his blood, and we're saved by the power of God. And here's what it says as we think about this and think about our great salvation. And by the way, we have a great salvation tonight. Would you agree with me on that? We have a great salvation, amen? We have a great Savior, amen? Yeah, we do. And we can praise him. And when we think about that, we praise his name. And the Bible says here in Psalm 106, verse 12, then believe they his words. They sang his praise. You know what? When faith is down, praise is down too. But when faith is up, praise is up. Do you remember a time when the Lord saved you and you were grateful to him for saving you out of the world and giving you a wonderful future in heaven to come? Do you remember that? Do you remember praising him for that? Do you remember times in your life when God delivered you from difficulties and you knew God delivered you and you praised him for that? But unfortunately, I want to say this to you tonight. After the Lord saved Israel, and this is all introduction to my message. After the Lord saved Israel, I want you to look tonight at the sad testimony of Psalm 106 and verses 13 and 14. Follow along as I read. I love this. Big, bold letters. Boy, Alicia, I love this. They soon forget his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Then look at what God did to them in verse 15, and this is really the text for tonight, for the title. It says, and he sent leanness into their soul. Psalm 106 verse 15. That is our text. And he sent leanness into their soul. Now, it's true that no one of us can be sinlessly perfect. Though you should always shoot for it. You cannot avoid the fact that you will fall into sin. However, you must tonight, I'm saying, avoid one sin leading to another in your life, so that like dominoes, you go down, down, and fall, and lead others to fall. And like mice multiplying, the supplies of grace in your life are eaten up. And so that's my message tonight to you, is lay aside your leanness. Lay aside your leanness. Some of you are going to like that. It's going to be an encouragement to get fat. Spiritually, lay aside your leanness. And I want to say three things. Number one, by watching for attacks after your victories. Notice 106:13a and verse 14. Here's what it says. They soon forget his works, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Now keep in mind the context. They had just seen God work through Moses and send plague number one, and the river became blood, and one plague after the other, mice all over the land, frogs all over the land, lights all over the land, darkness all over the land, and one plague after the other, boils on their bodies, and their cattle getting sick and dying, and hail hitting the land and destroying the vegetation, locusts coming up. They had been hit by one plague after the other. Would to God the systems of evil over America would be so struck by the hand of Almighty God. I'm praying for that. But it says of Israel, after they saw these wondrous things and the power of God, they soon forgot the Passover and how the death angel struck every Egyptian firstborn and all their cattle. And God, through the blood of the Passover, saved the Jewish families. And by the power of God, they were delivered through the Red Sea while the power of God crushed every last Egyptian pursuer in the army. And they forgot that. Do you realize how quickly you can forget God? Do you realize how quickly you can forget His blessings, His mercies, the answers to prayer that He gives you? Do you realize how wicked your flesh is, beloved, tonight? How wicked it is. And they forgot. And so when that happens, instead of waiting for the Lord's help in faith, instead of depending on God in your trial, strong lust, strong anti-God, anti-Bible desires begin to well up. I'm talking about among the people of God. And they yielded to these lusts. I think about the victories that we had this past Sunday. And I think about verse 14, where it said in verse 14, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. I think about just this past Sunday, what God did, brought out 128 people, gave us 3 buses again for the first time in 7 years, gave us 24 public professions of faith down the aisle. Andy, you came in, wondered what was going on. He saw all these people coming forward, he told me. God was working. 3 people baptized, joining the church. Praise God for what we saw. This Sunday, another Sunday school class and a new Sunday school teacher. All these blessings, but yet how easy it is for you to forget what God did and go off into your week and get into lust of the flesh and doing something that will grieve His Holy Spirit and like a domino cause you to fall. And that fall can easily lead you into other falls. Other falls. And guess what? The power of God will be cut off in your life. You say, what are you talking about? I am talking about the first point of this message tonight is lay aside your leanness by watching for attacks when? After your victories. They just won the victory in Egypt. And now the attack came from their sinful nature, from the lust of their own flesh, beloved. It can happen in your life. You need to watch for it and be careful because I see it happen in the Bible. For instance, after they marched around the walls of Jericho, the walls fell down flat. The army walked in and took Jericho, took all the blessing of Jericho, all the money, the gold, the silver, and it was the first of 10 cities, so it was a tithe, and God said, take it all and put it in the Lord's treasury, every penny of it. Right after that victory, they went to another city called Ai. It was a smaller city. They said, this is going to be a piece of cake. We got the power of God. They went to attack Ai, and boom, they were defeated, and Ai, the soldiers, started killing Israelites. Joshua fell on his face. God said, you got sin. Achan, he stole. He hid under his tent gold and he hid Babylonian clothes and he hid that under his tent. His family knew about it. And that led to the defeat of Israel. And right after a victory came that defeat. And then I think of the New Testament. How about The early church, the day of Pentecost, and the coming of the Holy Spirit with the new power of the Holy Spirit to bring in the end time harvest. And 3,000 got saved and added to the church, got baptized. What a day that was. Then in Acts 4, they got persecuted before that. They needed power. They prayed and they freshly were experienced a fresh baptism of the power of God to witness. And to win more lost people. Man, God did it, right? But then what happened? What happened? Right after that, we have a couple called Ananias and Sapphira. And they lied to the church. And they said, we gave all that we had and sold it and gave it. And they lied not just to the church, but Peter said, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. And they stole what they said they would give. By the way, let's keep our promises to God. Amen. Let's not let the enemy get in. And God had to deal with Ananias and Sapphira. I'm talking about after a victory. I'm thinking of Abraham in the Old Testament. Abraham, a great man of God. He prayed for Sodom. And God couldn't find 10 righteous people to answer his prayer. But he did deliver Lot out of Sodom. But listen, before all that happened, Abraham took his household servants and five kings from the east had taken four kings, including the king of Sodom, and all their people captive. And Abraham wanted to save Lot and his family. So he took his trained household servants and invaded. And they defeated the five kings. And they took back all the goods and the people of Sodom. And what did Abraham do? He saw Melchizedek, who was a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, and he tithed everything to him. He gave 10% of everything. By the way, there's tithing before the law, during the law, and after the law. Don't let anybody tell you there's not tithing. And he tithed to Melchizedek. Who's that? Jesus Christ. That's why it says in Hebrews that we have that priesthood, and so tithing is after the law. In our day, it's always there, beloved. But I'm just saying, Abraham did that. And the king of Sodom, you know, told him he could keep what he wanted. He said, no, you keep all the goods. He said, you keep that. I don't want to say you made me rich. And you know what? After all that happened, Abraham, I believe, was attacked by doubt. Why? Because in Genesis 15, God appeared to Abraham. He said, fear not, Abraham. You're afraid. He said, I'm thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abraham said, but how am I going to have a child? You promised me a child. I'm getting older. He was doubting. And God said, I'll take care of that. And he did. When Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, they had a supernatural child. And so you see, watch out for an attack. Abraham got attacked with unbelief right after a victory that God had given him. That flesh is a relentless enemy. It will come up and hit you right after you get a victory. And I'm thinking of one more illustration from the Bible. Remember Israel in the book of Exodus. They'd been delivered out of Egypt and they were in the wilderness. And who was the first enemy army to attack them? Here's what it says in Exodus 17, verse 8, in bold print. Amen. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Exodus 17, 8. Right after a victory. Right after they came out of Egypt. Now they get hit. Right after the Red Sea. And who hits them? Amalek. Who's Amalek? The grandson of Esau. Who is Esau? The twin of Isaac. The fraternal twin. I'm sorry, of Jacob. Son of Isaac. And remember in Rebekah's womb, Esau fought with Jacob back and forth. Remember that? And God showed Rebekah what was going on. He said the elder will serve the younger. The younger is the child of promise. The elder is more of the flesh. And so Esau represented the old man, the old nature. And the fight between Esau and Jacob is what goes on inside of you, which is Rebekah's womb. You have a war between the flesh and the spirit. And the only way you can overcome is consistently walk in the spirit. But all of a sudden, you can fall because of that flesh, that Amalek within you. And by the way, this is a good reminder to us tonight. Remember when that happened, Moses sent Joshua to go to war against Amalek. And Joshua represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know you need the work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon your flesh so that you can win the victory over that flesh? You say, well, I got saved years ago. The Lord saved me. Yeah, but you need to keep on being saved. You got saved from the penalty of sin, but you need to keep on being saved from the power of sin. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, you do. And one day, he's coming back to save us from the presence of sin.
Amen.
But let me tell you, it'll eat you up. It'll bring you into a famine if you let it go. And could it be that you've had some victories and you've let it get in there tonight? Or you've let it get in there this week? You've been letting it get in and the famine starting in your life and you're letting the famine go on. And you don't have what you need when you need to have it. I want to have gas in my tank when I'm going on a trip, right? Took the kids on a trip and I wanted to fill up with gas before we went down there to Lancaster to go bananas. Amen. We went to Go Bananas. And I wanted to get some gas in there. We got gas in the car. I want to be ready. I want to be ready spiritually. When I come into the pulpit, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the power of God. That's not just for the preacher. You need that every day of your life.
Amen.
But maybe that famine is building up there. Because after some victories, you got cocky. After some victories, you relaxed and you got gut punched. You know what happened to Harry Houdini? He was saying to college kids, you know, hit me as hard as you can. The gut, he'd hit him. It wouldn't hurt him. But while he was relaxed, one college kid hit him in the guts. And he had peritonitis. And that helped to lead to his death. I'm just saying, lay aside your leanness by your watching for attacks after your victories. And number two, by your waiting upon the Lord for His provisions. Look at Psalm 106:13b, where it says, big letters, they waited not for His counsel. Did you hear me? They waited not for His counsel. I've said many times, your lust can't wait to be satisfied. But the love of God can wait because it's a giving thing. God wants you to wait on Him for His provisions. And after God delivered them by His provision and His power from slavery to the Egyptian bondage, they didn't wait upon the Lord. They didn't depend upon the Lord in the wilderness for the further provisions that they needed to get help. They began to doubt God. They forgot God's power and His provisions. And guess what takes over when you forget God? Your own desires. Your own lusts. And that's what happened. And after God saves you by the provisions of His grace through the Lord Jesus, after He delivers you from trouble by His almighty power, haven't you too many times, beloved, failed to depend upon the Lord and wait upon Him for His guidance? You know, we can pervert our way by doing that, and then we blame the Lord. But it's not the Lord. It's us. And our poverty is us. In those cases, our famine is us. Our lack of being spiritually strong is us. Where is God? I don't feel Him. Many times that's why. So, likewise, after God has saved you by the provisions of His grace, that happens. And on your way through the desert and through the wilderness, on your way to heaven, you can get into that poverty. And it says, and He, verse 15, and He gave them their request. They asked Him for the lust of their flesh. You know what the Bible says? It says, It says, you have not because you ask not. Then it says, and ye ask and receive not because what? Ye ask amiss that ye might consume it on your own lust. People actually pray to God and ask him for things that they can get just satisfy their flesh. And you know what the bad thing is when he gives it to you? When he gives it your way? You know, I think it's a terrible thing when a child whines and nags and cries in a bad way with a bad attitude, and the parent just gives in to the child. When they should give them the backhand to the butt. They give in. Right? And that child becomes an ungrateful, spoiled brat. And they're doing the child no favor. Thank God that he doesn't do that. But sometimes he gives in to teach us a lesson. Amen? Sometimes he gives us what we keep lusting for. And I remember that happening in my life. I remember I got to college and I'd been in a public school and saw these pretty girls, but they were unsaved and I couldn't have anything to do with them. But when I got to a Bible college, I said, man, look at all these girls. They're saved girls. Wow, this is great. I'm going to ask God for a girlfriend. And I began to ask God for a girlfriend, ask God for a girlfriend, ask God for a girlfriend. You know what? I didn't need to do that. I didn't need to do that. If I would have just focused on serving God and learning and benefiting from what he got, he would have given me my girl in due time, the girl of my dreams, the girl of my life. Yeah, right there. You got it. You're right. But I wasn't focused on that. I was a single guy, young guy. I was looking at girls. I'll admit it. And finally, he gave me a girlfriend in college, and it was so good. Every Sunday, I got invited over to her house because her parents were on staff, and I got to have her mother cook a big Sunday dinner. Man, I was like living high in the hog. Everybody else, they were eating that dorm food. I was like eating good home cooking. And I had this girl, she was pretty, and I liked her perfume. She had Emerald back in the day, Emerald perfume. I liked that perfume. You don't like it, Matt? Well, back in the day, I liked the smell of it. I'm just telling. Pretty girl, smell of the perfume. You're just jealous, Matt. Stop complaining. So it was going on. I was enjoying that. And pretty soon I found out I started holding hands. And we did that in public. In Bible college. I don't know if that was against the rule. I think maybe they had the 6-inch rule back then. But I held hands with her. And you know what happens when you hold hands with a girl. It isn't long before you start kissing. Shouldn't be doing that. But you do. And I want to say, if God didn't intervene in my life, and he intervened in a stark way, and he stopped me dead in my tracks, and he turned me to Proverbs 31, where Bathsheba's talking to Solomon, and she said, what the son of my vows, what the son of my womb, give not your strength to what?
Women.
Give not your strength to women. It was like the Holy Spirit of God was just putting that with power on my heart and life. And he delivered me from that. And that's when I became close friends with Charlie Ware. And Charlie Ware, he was at a time when there was segregation. You couldn't date out of your race. And it was a thing. And he just trusted God. He said, God, I'll trust you in your time to give me my wife. And God gave him his wife in his time. And God gave me my wife in my time. And right together, we got married about the same time. It was great. But what I'm talking to you about is, lay aside your leanness, because while I got the girlfriend with the perfume and the hand-holding, I had leanness come into my soul spiritually, while Charlie Ware was spiritually wealthy. And so You need to watch for attacks after your victory, and you need to wait upon the Lord for His provision and seek first His kingdom and keep your eyes just fixed on Him. And there's nothing wrong with going to your closet and praying in secret. I did do that when I got straight. And God blessed. And God rewarded me openly because I prayed in secret. And I remember going through all of that, and that happened to Israel. God provided them with manna, which was angels' food in the wilderness. He had everything they needed, and if they would have listened to Him, it wouldn't have been long. They'd have been in the promised land eating milk and honey and all the rest of it and the fruit of the land. But they didn't listen to Him. What did they do? After they got the manna, they said, "We're sick of this manna. We want something else. We remember. And here's what it says in Numbers 11, 4 through 6. It says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic.'" Now, that's pretty good food, really, if you eat that stuff. Some of you wouldn't like it, but it's good for you. "But now," it says, "but now our soul is dried away and there's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." In other words, that was God's provision for them, but they didn't want that. They wanted something else. And how foolish it is, they said, "Oh, we remember how great it was in Egypt, how we had that food freely, what we want, we could just make it." But wait a minute, did they forget the whips? Did they forget they had to make the straw and get the straw and make the bricks and all the pain and suffering they went through in the ground? No, they forgot that. They were now a free people. They forgot that. And they forgot that God would provide for them in the promised land. They could eat the manna now and He was going to give them the provision of the promise. And they began to complain and they began to murmur. And they were driving Moses half out of his mind. And guess what happened? God said, "Okay, you don't like the manna that I've given you, and you don't want to wait for the promised land? I'll give you flesh to eat. I'll give you your request." But He sent leanness to their soul. And what did He give them? One of the men, tell me, yell it out. Raise your hand and yell it out. What did He give them, Luke? Quail. And the quail were flying along the ground, and He just brought it right to them, and they could just get all that meat, man, and they were just, it kind of tasted like the chicken tenders you were eating yesterday. Luke just kept going after those chicken tenders. He liked that after at the restaurant. Now, my wife, she was going for the pure beef and that kind of stuff. I was eating all kind of various kinds of corn and stuff like that. Kind of corny. But I want to tell you, man, I want to tell you that they, it says they ate the quail. And it says, "And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague." You say, can God get angry at something that you keep wanting and He gives it to you? Yeah. He's not happy. I want it. Okay, get it. You see, they're called in the Bible deceitful lust. You think it's going to be good. I think of a guy that I counseled, and he wanted to marry this girl, and he had the date set, and he had the girl, and he had it all set. And then there was a problem with COVID, and it stopped the whole thing. And he was frustrated at first, like, "I get this." And I was like, my wife was like, I was like, "Put the brakes on." He wouldn't mind me sharing it with you. He shares it freely. Put the brakes on. Now he tells me, "I thank God every day that God stopped that. That would be the biggest catastrophe of my life if I would have married that girl. That is a mess. But it looked so good at the time." And that's the way it is. When you don't wait, lay aside your leanness by watching for attacks right after victories, by waiting upon the Lord for His provision for your life, lest you be lean spiritually, and finally, by your working with the Lord for His restoration. We'll finish up here. Look at verse 15 again of Psalm 106. It says, "And He gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul." You know what I think about here? I think about Joseph. He had a dream. Not Joseph, the Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph interpreted it. And remember, he saw seven fat cows, well-favored. The kind of beef like my wife likes. Good sirloin steaks and stuff like that. Seven of those guys. But then seven lean, bony cows. And the bony, lean cows ate up the fat, fleshed cows. And the same thing with seven ears of corn and the big, fat corn. And then there was this little, sickly corn and scrubby, and it ate up the seven big, fleshy corn. My wife likes that corn in the cob. I like it too, with the butter. But it ate it up with this sickly corn. How many have ever eaten sickly corn? I mean, yeah, it's no good. I like corn, but not that kind. I even like popcorn. I'll take corn. This sermon's getting more and more corny as I go along, though. I don't know. But anyway, you get that corn, and it ate it up. And that meant seven good years, but seven lean years. And thank God Joseph had a plan to use those seven good years. But when you give into your flesh and you don't get it right with God, you're going to get leaner and weaker, and it's not going to be good for you and for the church and for your family. Say, well, Pastor, how do I avoid it? Well, let me just tell you what the Bible says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the word confess, you know, I've told you many times, is two words, homo legeo. Homo means the same thing, and legeo means to say. That means you say to God what He says about the sin. You let God break your heart about the sin and realize how you sin, not against His law, but against His love in your life and how good He's been to you. And realize you're being a cad. You're being so wicked. You're being so stupid as to yield to your flesh and spit in God's face. Take time to do that. If you don't, there's going to be that nagging sense of guilt, and you'll have fear, and you won't be able to go forward with God. I know I can't really go forward with God with unconfessed sin. It's not good. I think of a guy who quoted 1 John 1:7. It says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." The normal Christian life is to walk in fellowship with God. Partnership. And it's in the light, because God dwells in unapproachable light, and He shares light with you and sheds it as you walk. But sometimes you step out of the light, don't you? When you sin, you step out of the light. That's why it says we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us. Anybody that knows me, I know my wife knows, I need soap and water and cleansing all the time. On my ties, on my pants, on my shirt, on my shoes, because I'm always falling into some mud or something. And I have to have help. You do too. Thank God we have a cleansing agent. The blood that Jesus shed for us way back on Calvary not only saves us once and for all from the penalty of sin, but it keeps on saving us from the defilement of sin. Not just the damnation, but the defilement. The blood shall never lose its power. And I want to use that blood. And we need to use that blood. You don't have to be like the Catholics and build it up and build it up and go to confession once in a while. No, we can keep on being cleansed. Amen. You don't have to go from Sunday and wait for Wednesday. Thank God for the washing of the water with the Word. Amen. But you can, like priests can do and did in the labor, you can wash yourself in the Word of God every day. Amen. And throughout the day. And some of you need it. Because you let unconfessed sin. Maybe it's something between you and a brother and you let it build up and you're petty and you're unforgiving and your prayers are hindered. Maybe it's something between you and your wife. Maybe it's something that's building up in your life, an unconfessed sin. You haven't really gotten clean and now it's going to lead you to other sins. Beloved, this is the way to get it right. And it says in verse 9 of 1 John 1, He's faithful. That means He will do what He said. Cleanse you, forgive you, and He's just. That means that sin has been paid for. And so you can claim. Take time after you confess to get assurance that everything's right. And that, yes, He has forgiven me. I have His smile. I am restored to fellowship. Don't fall down, and then one domino leads to another. After getting cleansed by His blood, take time then to be holy. Spend time in the Word of God every day. Get to church, beloved. Hear the Word of God. Yes, indeed. Perhaps some are missing out tonight because something happened between the victories of Sunday and today. Don't do that. Spend time in prayer, getting grace and mercy from your compassionate high priest. Tell Him how stupid you've been to sin against His love. Wait upon Him and stay in close contact with Him going forward. What am I saying? Let's lay aside the leanness. Let's watch for the attacks after your victories. Let's wait upon the Lord for His provision instead of trying to satisfy the lust of that old nature that wants to take you down. And let's be working with the Lord for restoration, for close fellowship. He'll give it to you, beloved. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed tonight. We've been talking about leanness and laying aside.